Take a break from your busy schedule and join Bonnie Sala, our guest host, for Guidelines for Living.
My dad used to tell the story of an 8-year-old boy with a troubled home life who wrote a letter to God. He addressed it to heaven, put a stamp on it, and mailed it. As you probably know, letters without valid addresses on them would get sent to a dead letter office, where they're usually disposed of. But this letter was opened. The message read, "Dear God, what is it like to die? I just want to know. I don't want to do it. Your friend, Michael." Yes, even years ago, this troubled cry was a commentary on the violence which makes life fragile and uncertain, with drive-by shootings, gangs, and terrorism. In desperate circumstances, life is cheap and causes some to want to live without thought for tomorrow, living for the moment because you never know what a day may hold, or else paralyzed by fear, wondering if someone's bullet or an IED has your name on it. This is the world in which 8-year-olds ask the sobering question, "Dear God, what is it like to die?" Yes, we know 8-year-olds should be thinking about life, not death. Yet the reality is that both are part of life, and knowing that God sent His Son to take away the fear of death makes a big difference in how you live. Because He knew that death is merely the transition into the presence of God for those who are His followers, Paul could cry out, "O death, where is your sting?" But anything that you have never experienced or don't understand can be frightening, whether you are 8 or 80. When Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, he used the analogy of pitching a tent, as you would do when you camp out. And he spoke from his own experience because he was a tent maker. He says that our earthly tent, the body, wears out, beaten by wind and weather, with seams torn, which can no longer be repaired. Then he says, we will have one which is eternal, made by God Himself. Here's how he put it. "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." In his last week with the disciples, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for his followers, in his words, "so that you may be with me where I am." This, of course, personalizes heaven and makes it real, not simply a nebulous, out there somewhere sort of thing. Heaven is a home, and for those who have been homeless or who have wandered as a refugee, knowing that you are secure and will never lack is the best good news. When I'm going to some part of the world I have never seen before, I investigate to find out what it's like. I go online, and when it's possible, I'll talk with someone firsthand, someone who has been there and who can tell me what it's like from personal experience. No other book in all the world can tell me what the Bible does about heaven. And only one person has ever been there and come from there to tell us what it is like. His name is Jesus Christ. At the end of C.S. Lewis's book, The Chronicles of Narnia, all the characters die in a train accident. Lewis concludes, saying, "But the things that began to happen after that were so beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story." And that is the truth and the real answer to little Michael's question, and perhaps yours today.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.